It is another big weekend in the Big 12 Conference, and one game in particular that we are keeping a close watch on is the 22nd-ranked Oklahoma Sooners. They stand right now, they are 8-2, and they have traveled to Manhattan, Kansas to face the 6-4 K-State Wildcats. It is an 11 o'clock Central Time kickoff on Saturday, and this game, it really does take on special meaning as head coach Bob Stoops has the opportunity to surpass Barry Switzer to become the program's all-time winningest coach. And, you know, to reach 158 wins as a head coach, it is significant, especially when you are following in the footsteps of all-time coaching greats like Barry Switzer. You know, the master recruiter implemented the wishbone formation and brought 3 national titles and 12 conference crowns to OU. Now, the gentleman I'm getting set to introduce, he is an analyst with Fox Sports Southwest for the OU Sooner Playbook Show. He had a prolific career at Oklahoma. He was a 4-year starting place kicker for the Sooners for Barry Switzer. He was a member of the 85 National Championship team. He was the MVP in that game, a longtime friend. It's great to welcome into Yahoo Sports Radio and the Big E Sports Show, Tim Lasher. Hello, Tim, Boomer Sooner.
E, how are you?
Hey, it's always Fast and Furious here at Yahoo Sports Radio, and we have got so much ground to cover, and I'm looking forward to getting your perspective and your insight, because really, when we schedule this, the timing of our interview is perfect. I mean, because you understand the history, you understand the tradition, and just how huge potentially this is to reach this milestone with a win on Saturday against K-State.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's Oklahoma prides itself on being one of those programs that, well, it's the only program that has had 4 head coaches win over 100 games. And what Bob Stoops has done, I think there's times I listen to him talk and he deflects everything. When he was asked about tying Barry Switzer last week, virtually every answer was praising Barry Switzer and had nothing to do with him. But I think he's even surprised once in a while that he's been here this long. Because yeah. He's such a successful coach. He's had opportunities to go other places, but there's been a lot of consistency with David Boren as the president, Joe Castiglione as the AD, and Bob appreciates that and has really been such a successful head coach here that Oklahoma doesn't want to let him go.
Well, you know, Tim, there has been a lot of attention with this storyline, and it is interesting to hear you say that head coach Bob Stoops, that he is downplaying all the attention. It's been really such a historic run for him. He's one of these types of guys, if you spend any time around him, I guess he's really reluctant to get sentimental. I mean, he is actually very humble.
He really is, and he's always been very welcoming to alumni. He's been successful, along with the athletic director, Joe Castiglione, of really bridging the gap between the generations. Virtually every game, something is being celebrated in the Sooner history. If they're bringing back the, you know, the 85 team, the 75 team, the 1955 team, there's always something going on. And Bob has just looked at himself as another, you know, a guy that Switzer used to say, Bud Wilkinson created the monster, I just keep feeding it. I think Bob looks at it the same way.
Yeah, to reach 158 wins, it's not so much about the quantity, but you think about the names that you're just rattling off. I mean, coaching legends like Bud Wilkinson, Barry Switzer, and of course, Bob Stoops. He spoiled Sooner Nation in his second year winning a title. Give us some insight as far as with the Sooner fans. I mean, what's the pulse up there on campus?
Well, you know, I think the thing you have to remember is that the expectations are always so high here. You know, Oklahoma loses a 4-year starting quarterback, the most prolific passer they've ever had in Landry Jones, and the expectation is still, man, it's been almost 13 years since we've won a national title. And so a 2 or 3 loss season is sometimes frustrating to the Sooner Nation, but and the way the game is played today, with scholarship limits, every team having good football players on it, and the way the game, the spread offenses have taken over and just utilizing the whole field, it is really tough to go through a season undefeated. And the Sooner Nation is restless. They haven't won a, you know, I remember in 1985 when we won a national title, people were screaming that it's been 10 years since we've won one. There was people wanted Switzer to be fired. Before him, people wanted Chuck Fairbanks fired. So there's always going to be a faction of your fan base that's never satisfied unless it's an undefeated season. But they've had an awful lot of injuries this year, and they haven't had consistent quarterback play. So the 2 losses, one being to Texas, stings a little more for the Sooner fans. But they're still plugging away, and I think they've got a lot of young talent here, so there's a lot for them to look forward to. They need to be decisive at quarterback, and when they get there, I think they'll they'll start moving in the right direction.
Tim Lasher is joining us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are zeroing in on his Oklahoma Sooners. And, you know, Tim, I don't have the power to predict the future, but if Oklahoma should win, I'm just assuming, you know, the mindset of the players going into this game, you were talking about some of the younger players, the talent that they have there, there is just that extra motivation. I mean, they really do. They want to get this win on the road. They want to get it for Coach because they know that it does have special meaning.
It does. It has a lot of special meaning for them. There's, you know, the media has taken some angles looking at him going up against one of his mentors in Bill Snyder. You know, Bob came through Kansas State with a stop in Florida before coming to Oklahoma, and he's had a lot of success against Bill Snyder. And if both teams go out and play their best, I think Oklahoma will win because they have a better collection of talent. But you know, this season there have been two losses for the Sooners, and those losses have come when their quarterback play was subpar. That's been the definitive factor in each one of those games. Not only have they not helped the team be successful, but they've hurt the team in the way that they played. Interceptions, bad decisions, and they wanted at this point of the season to be able to be decidedly improving, especially with and have a good quarterback in play, and they just haven't shown the consistency there. Blake Bell, who has started really since the West Virginia game this year, will not be playing Saturday. Trevor Knight will get the start, and people are excited to see him back in there.
I was going to say, what is your take in terms of with Trevor Knight now getting that starting position, kind of the differences between these two quarterbacks with their approach, with their style? And will Knight, I mean, is he the kind of guy that can come in there and really stabilize this offense some more, Tim?
Well, you know, he came in early in the season, and he was named the starter over Blake Bell when the season began, which surprised a lot of people. They really felt like with Bell, the time he spent on the field running the Belldozer package, he would be the guy. But Trevor Knight gives them another dimension. He is so quick, and after losing to Texas A&M the way they did in the Cotton Bowl last year, I think after playing Johnny Manziel, the coaching staff went, this is tough to defend, and we want to have a guy that's got the ability to run and pass, and Trevor Knight showed that in practice. He got in the games, he made some critical decision errors, and so they benched him and put Blake Bell in, but Blake Bell, again, hasn't shown that consistency. Trevor Knight is going to be able to run the football. OU ran for over 400 yards last week against Iowa State, the first time that they've done that since 1997, and a lot of that is just running the zone read. So Knight gives him a good dimension. It's just a matter of whether he'll be able to settle in and make those difficult passes under pressure, because he wasn't as successful doing that in the two games he started to start the season.
Tim Lasher is joining us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. We want you to follow us online at Twitter at E Radio Sports. And, you know, Tim, you're talking about Trevor Knight and just how he really executed when he had that moment and that chance in the Iowa State game. But what about Jalen Saunders? I mean, the senior wide receiver, that 91-yard punt return for a touchdown, he made a huge impact, and his contributions, they were definitely evident.
Well, yeah, that was the key play in the Iowa State game.
It was.
One of the problems the Sooners have had this year is they have not been able to score in the first quarter. They're getting off to horrible starts. They have not scored a touchdown in the first quarter of play since the Notre Dame game, and that was set up on a 32-yard field after an interception. So they've only scored, I believe it's 26 offensive points this year early on, and when you go on the road, that costs you. If watching what they did in the Baylor game, when they held Baylor, who is the most prolific offense in the conference, they held them to 3 points in the first quarter, but the offense couldn't do their part, and eventually the defense broke down. What Saunders did really sparked the team. They were going nowhere, and he got that long punt return for a touchdown. It was reminiscent of the same thing he did last year in the Oklahoma State game, which turned the game around. And Oklahoma's just got to take advantage of those momentum plays. And they did that against Iowa State, but they came into that game as a 102nd rated rushing defense, so it wasn't too hard just to start pounding at them. But against Kansas State, Bill Snyder is a great coach. He does more with less than anybody has ever done in college football. And it's going to be a grinded game. It's going to be cold. It looks like the weather will play a factor, and the fact that Oklahoma has several players out that are key players. Damian Williams and LaColton Bester, it was just announced yesterday, were suspended for the game. and they're going to miss that ability to run the football.
Of course, Oklahoma, as you were talking about, Tim, coming off that 48-10 win over Iowa State. And, I mean, when you're playing an opponent like that within the Big 12, at the bottom of the Big 12, how have we been able to get a true sense of what Oklahoma's capable of? I mean, what, you know, when you're looking at them, you're trying to get an assessment. I mean, what is it that they have been lacking this year? I mean, they only have two losses on the season, but as you were talking about earlier, the expectations are so much higher. They want to be in that national championship game.
Well, coming into the year, after last year, their defense was not very good. And so coming into this year, that was the big question mark. They don't have a lot of depth in their front seven. Mike Stoops changed his defense. He went to a 3-4 alignment, and they've been dominant at times defensively against teams. Texas ran the ball very well on them. Baylor obviously rolled it up on them. But some of that is because the offense wasn't putting them in a good position. A lot of those points were scored against the offense, not against the defense. And the other thing that's really hurt him is injuries. Jordan Phillips is their starting defensive tackle. He was really wreaking havoc in the first couple of games. He had back surgery and is out. Their starting linebacker, Corey Nelson, tore a pectoral muscle against TCU. Aaron Colvin has spent some time on the bench with a shoulder injury this season in critical parts of the game. So last week, they only had one captain to do the coin flip. Gabe Eichert was the only guy that could be there because some of these guys are key to their team, and the injuries have hurt them. They have a lot of very good young players coming up, but they're young players, and you can't expect them to go out and be able to play at a championship level. Frank Shannon was a redshirt sophomore linebacker, and when he went out after the third game of the Texas, or the third play of the Texas Tech game, OU had two true freshmen playing linebacker for virtually that entire game, and that was against an offense that puts a lot of pressure on a defense. So the key thing other than the injuries is it's simply their quarterback play. They have not been able to consistently put games together. Blake Bell comes out against Tulsa, his first start, and sets the record for the first-time starter, throws for over 420 yards. The next game against Notre Dame, he's fantastic. Against Texas, he laid an egg. Against Baylor, he laid an egg. And so it's just the natives are getting restless in that regard and starting to question the offense and some of the things that Josh Heupel is doing. But as you know, it's about the players right now, and they've got to go make plays.
I was going to say, Tim, how do you level that out? Because that obviously is at the top of their list as far as their biggest priority. I mean, you can't control the injuries, but you got to have a level of consistency when you're talking about that quarterback position.
Yeah, they just really what they're asking of their quarterbacks right now is don't hurt us. Just go out and make some plays. They want them to throw the ball. They want them to take chances when they need to, but don't make bad decisions. Against Baylor, they were in a game where Baylor scored, and it was 17-5, and it looked like they could go into the half that way, and they were setting up some simple screen passes, and Blake Bell at the time didn't even look at the screen. He just tried to force the ball inside. It got intercepted, and suddenly they were down 24-5 at halftime on the road. And you're not going to do well doing that. They need to come out of the gate and early in Manhattan against Bill Snyder's team. They need to score in the first quarter. They need to set the tone for that game. And I think Trevor Knight is just going to have to play within himself and not try to do too much, because if they do that, there's enough good players around them that can help him out. Sterling Shepard, we don't know if he'll play in this game. Blake Bell, we know, is out with Damian Williams and Colton Bester being out. There will be a lot of pressure on Jalen Saunders, probably. I would plan on watching Oklahoma run the ball as much as they could with Brennan Clay and Roy Finch, and the quarterback will be a big part of that offense as well.
Tim, we're going to take a quick time out, and we'll be right back with much more of Yahoo Sports Radio and the Big E Sports Show as we're breaking down Big 12 football and zero in on Oklahoma K-State.